T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, tons to get to. College Football Corner in about 20 minutes from right now. An interesting article written yesterday about the situation Georgia finds itself in and the similarity to other teams that have made big-time runs in the past. We'll see if Georgia can be one of those teams. Get to some other college football news and notes as well. The Wendy Zone at 11:40, but we always kick off the 11 o'clock hour with the NFL No Huddle, brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up, another way they make you smile. So Dan Quinn on the morning show earlier today said a lot of different things, including this.
Yeah, no stats look good right now, Hugh. I'll say this. Here's how we get there and how we do it, you know, and you know this too. So let's make sure the hits and the hurries, that those are turning into sacks. And how do you do that? Man, a lot of coordination, making sure you're on the right level to rush. And so if you're running a pass rush game that goes, right onto the contained space of it, how do we trap a quarterback in the pocket? So those are the things that we're going to work hard at practice.
I want to get back to that quote specifically,
right,
like the actual content of it in a minute.
Uh-huh.
Can we just take a general temperature of the fans right now? Because, like, Dan Quinn comes on the radio station every Wednesday, right?
Correct.
He's on the morning show every single Wednesday.
Correct.
And the last couple Wednesdays, when we replay the interview, people tweeting at us, people texting. We don't want to hear that crap. I don't want to hear from Dan Quinn. I didn't hear anything from anybody today.
Right.
Like, are people so beyond it,
Yes. So
over it
Yes.
at this point,
Yes.
that it's just like, all right,
Yes.
that guy again?
Yeah.
Like,
but
that's a tough one.
That is, but I understood everything he's saying, you know, as far as how to rush and all that. That's great when you say it. I mean, because he's technically, Andy, he's 100% right on. That's what you do to get sacks and quarterback. The problem is that you don't have the dudes that's doing that, and that's the biggest issue right now. And I heard Hugh had some great points this morning when he was talking about the pass rush and how to use certain guys, and he was talking about using, like, Vic Beasley as, like, a star rusher or whatever and letting him move around and just let him go.
Like a robber like that.
And if that's the best way to get him involved, because I know they did a lot of that with Jason Taylor, but Jason Taylor was just a pure pass rusher. He can do anything. He can rush anywhere.
Jason Taylor's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. But I know what he was talking about, because they did do that.
Just an example.
Yeah, Nick Saban did that a lot with him, and Dan Quinn was the D-line coach on that defense. So I understand what he's talking about. But, yeah, if you ain't got them hosses.
Right.
If you ain't got them hosses to do that.
It's a good in theory. It sounds good.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great – you played with Jason Taylor, right?
Yeah.
Vic Beasley and Jason Taylor have a lot in common? Besides the position that they play?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's the unfortunate part of it. Like, it's a great idea, but, I mean, again, Jason Taylor is Jason Taylor for a reason. He's in the Hall of Fame because he's one of the best at that job ever to do it. I don't know what you do with Vic Beasley. And honestly, the unfortunate part of it is you're getting to the point where there's nothing that you can do with Vic Beasley. I wonder if they would consider trading him. Like, there will be value. Like, somebody will do it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a ton in return for him.
Yeah.
But it's an expiring contract. I know it's not the NBA, but you get Vic Beasley for 8 games. Maybe you think you can get something out of him. I don't know what the Falcons get back. But to me, that would be kind of the ultimate admission of white flag. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's all.
I said. That's why I said this is this game right here is big for a couple of reasons, and one is because your season's probably over. Your season's probably over.
Probably,
you know, it's probably over if you know, because it's not impossible to come back from a 1-5 start, but it's the odds are stacked against you, especially because two teams in your division lost their starting quarterback or winning.
Yeah,
big winning games.
They haven't
now
lost
you haven't played them yet. You haven't played them
that's
yet.
That's true. You got all your division
you got
games.
All your
left.
Division games. So you have not played them yet. But once this game is over, and it goes back to a point you made in the first segment of the show. If you're a lame duck GM, do you have the authorization to do that?
Right.
Do you have the authorization to trade off of him if you're not going to be here?
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing that we'll have to watch for. Like, unless Dan Quinn performs a miracle and this team completely switches it around, and I hope they do. It would be amazing. It would be a truly amazing story if somehow 8-9 weeks from now we're talking about a team that's gone on a run, and I hope that that's what happens. But I think we're kind of all on the same page with him. It just doesn't look good for him, and there's even rumors out there that maybe Arthur Blank would make a change during the bye week if things don't get better. I don't know if that's the same thing for Thomas Dimitroff. And if nothing is happening at all at the trade deadline, then I think that that's a pretty good indicator that Thomas Dimitroff is probably with Dan Quinn. How many more Wednesday interviews do you think Dan Quinn does with John and Hugh?
I don't know. I mean, if he's obligated to do it, then he got to do it every Wednesday.
Yeah, but...
Oh, you mean if he's not here to do it?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think he's just going to call in.
Yeah. Oh, no. But then it goes back to, you know...
Is Dan and Swanee
on Dan,
line four?
Hey. Yeah. I mean...
I don't think he's going to do that at 7 a.m. on Wednesdays.
I don't
Wednesdays
know how they do that
unemployed.
As far as if he's not here anymore, which, you know, is still a... I still think it's a long shot, you know. We still haven't found out what progress means. But if he isn't, I don't... You know, I mean... October 27th, that might be the cutoff date, man. It could be. It really could, because the thing about it is, if you're going to make a move, a bye week is the right time to do it. You're not going to change philosophies. You know, it's still going to be a lot of the same, you know, thoughts and everything. But you hear some new words. You might hear a practice schedule change or something like that. But for the most part, it's not going to be a complete overhaul,
so,
like people think.
I want to ask Dave Archer this coming up when we talk to Dave Archer in the Falcons, Lunchtime Falcons Report at 12:20. Beyond the things that are true for every team, meaning any given Sunday, any team can beat any team, and
right,
there's 10 games left and all that stuff. Like, that's all true.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that stuff, like, what are you optimistic about with this franchise right now?
What am I optimistic?
Yeah, when you look at the Falcons right now, beyond the fact that, yeah, we could beat the Rams on Sunday. Yes, it's true.
Right.
I mean, you know, specific things about this Falcons team right now. What makes you optimistic? Is there anything?
Quarterback?
Yeah.
Wide receiver?
The offense is fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like, I'm interested to see. It's almost like a challenge that's been laid down in front of them. Not a fun challenge. Not one that we're interested in. You know, we didn't want it to be like this. But it's almost like, hey, can you guys score 40 points? Like, can you do that? Because we need you to. Because the defense isn't going to stop anybody. Like, you're
but
not just going to magically wave a wand.
That's the thing. You don't need them to stop anybody. As far as, like, shut them down. Just make a defensive play that alters the game.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Make an interception.
But that's one. You're still going to give up 35 points.
But the thing about it is, that might be that one stop you need, and you win 38-35.
And that's what I'm
saying.
You know
what I'm saying?
Like, I'm interested, and maybe this is cruel and unusual or whatever, I'm interested to see if the offense can be good enough to win football games with how bad this defense is. Because that's a fun challenge, kind of. Not really. It's not fun, but... It's an interesting challenge for this offense because they're really good. There's a lot of really good players on the offense.
They got some good players, man, and that's why I say this game, if you can find a way, and it's easier said than done, to not let Aaron Donald ruin this game, you got a shot. Got a shot to have a shootout.
They did that in the playoffs a couple years ago. Aaron Donald he was effective, but they did a good job of getting the ball out.
If
five guys block him.
Yeah, if you can get him, if you can take care of that guy, you got a shot to have a shootout. But, I mean, he's just a game wrecker, and he comes from everywhere. I mean, he's a D tackle. He got a sack coming around the left tackle against Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude is just that great. I mean, and don't get me wrong, they got some good players on there. So my brother plays over there. I love him to death. Eric Weddle playing safety over there for him.
But is he okay?
Yeah, he
come back from that head thing?
Yeah, he had me cracking up talking about what happened. I was like, how you get your head busted in your helmet?
That looked like it hurt.
Yeah, but no, yeah, he's good. He's good. But yeah, I mean, but again, it goes back to this. If those guys can't get after Jared Goff, and you're telling me that Trufant might still be out, so you're gonna have to go with those same three receivers as last week.
Yeah.
And you're going against those guys, and then Devondre, who struggled last week in his coverage, is going to have to guard Everett. I doubt they put him on Everett. Even though he's a tight end, you got to put a DB on him.
Yeah, it could make for a long day.
Yeah.
And then you flip it around to the other side, and sort of the big news of the day, it's not just Aaron Donald over there anymore. The Rams now have Jalen Ramsey. They traded for Jalen Ramsey yesterday from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And look, that situation in Jacksonville is just untenable.
It
wasn't going to get fixed. They made the right move. They ended up getting two first-round draft picks and another draft pick for Jalen Ramsey. And a lot of people are saying that the Rams gave up too much to get him. I disagree, too. I don't know what those draft picks are going to become.
Exactly.
I know Jalen Ramsey's an all-pro
today. Exactly. I mean, but that's the thing about it. When you're an elite player at a premium position, look at Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's an elite position player. They got two first rounds for him. Do you think those two first rounders going to turn out to be Khalil Mack? Maybe.
Maybe, but
I don't know that. I know what I got with this guy.
What I do know is the Bears are good now.
Yes.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
The Bears weren't good, and then they got Khalil Mack, and now they are.
You know what I mean? That's the thing about it. When you're talking about giving up first round picks, and I know people, they hang on to them and they love that, you know, because you got the whole, you know, mock drafts and all that. But still, when I get a proven commodity, which is Jalen Ramsey, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Me too.
I'll take it. But the thing about that is where they're going to run into that issue. As much money as their owner has, and as much money as his old lady has, that don't matter in the salary cap, man, because eventually you're going to start losing guys.
You know, that's the weird thing that people are saying about why Arthur Blank is going to be upset with Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, because he spent so much money. Well, yeah, but everybody, you have to. It's a salary cap.
Yeah.
Like, literally every team in the NFL has spent about this. And there's five or six teams that haven't spent that much money. But basically, everybody has spent a bunch of money. Like, if there was no salary cap, Arthur Blank would have spent way more money, because Julio would have got even more money than he actually got. Matt Ryan, same thing. And they probably would have paid some other guys already, too. Like, I don't think Arthur Blank is mad because he spent money on these guys. I think Arthur Blank is mad because they were supposed to be good and they're not. Speaking of money, you could have more money to spend if you win this $1,000.
Let's give him some loot.
To reveal our national signing bonus code word, the code word is
shadow. Shadow. You have until 11:59 to text shadow, S-H-A-D-O-W, to 72881 from your cell phone. That's 72881 from your cell phone. Message and data rates may apply. Please, please, please do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 99thegame.com/rules. Again, that word for this hour is shadow.
Will Jalen Ramsey shadow Julio Jones on Sunday?
Yes.
He will.
Yes.
All game.
Yes.
And that's a way to get around him getting up to speed with the scheme and the defense.
Call a cat coverage.
You don't really have to know anything. You just go guard that guy who's wearing number 11.
Yeah, but call a cat. That's what cat coverage. You got that cat over there.
That's what that. Cat coverage.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Cat, you got that cat right there. I mean, but that's what it is, funny, man. But, I mean, hey, it's going to be a great matchup. I mean, those are the matchups you want to see. And, again, he can't guard Julio the whole game.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But, again, he's going to win some battles. Julio's going to win.
Do you bring help, or do you try to let him do it by himself?
You let him do it by himself.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But, like, most teams bring help, and then that's helpful for.
Yeah, they bring help because they ain't got Jalen Ramsey.
Right. They don't have
Jalen Ramsey. Even though they were talking about Xavier. Up in Minnesota, they talk about him shut. No, you saw that safety every time over top of Julio, wherever he went. Xavier Rhodes.
Rhodes had help.
Yeah, he
over
had
the
help.
Top.
They're not going to help. They're not going to help.
The Saints do the same thing with Lattimore. People always trying to talk about Lattimore.
Yeah, don't get it twisted.
He's grabbing Julio all over the place, and they're bringing safety help too. I forgot what I was going to say.
Not
That's not good. Doug Peterson guaranteed a win. I'll let him talk.
I know the sky's falling outside.
Yes.
You know, it's falling, and I get that. And the fans are reeling just a little bit. But, you know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be. Has it been perfect or beautiful or all of that? No. But all we got to do is try to be 1-0 this week. Beat the Dallas Cowboys. We're in first place. And listen, they're reeling too. I mean, they're struggling too. They've dropped their last three games. So this will be an exciting football game.
I was going to say Austin Hooper is on pace for 112 catches.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That really was all I was going to say about that. That's Doug Peterson. Was he guaranteeing?
I don't know.
He guaranteed a win?
He walked it back.
Because he said he didn't.
But people get out. So? What does that mean? What does that mean? He guaranteed a win. So? If they lose, then what happened? You know what's going to happen?
Fire him.
No. You know what's going to happen? Then all the Cowboys says, yeah, we heard what their coach said, and we ain't appreciate it. We put it on the bulletin board.
Yeah, put a chip on their shoulder.
That is the dumbest thing in the world.
Are there actually bulletin boards in NFL locker rooms?
Sometimes.
There are?
Yeah.
Do you actually put stuff up on them?
Yes,
really?
They do.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I know Dave used to do that.
Really?
Dave wants to ask some crazy. Like we were like 5-1, and we played like the Texans. They were garbage. And so he had, like, this trap put in the middle of the locker room and said, don't fall into the trap. Like, really, dude?
Okay.
Like, really? So you mean to tell
that
DeMarcus Lawrence, they're going to rush harder because of what Doug Peterson said?
Yeah.
But no.
Hell yeah.
No.
Because, we're going to win that football game.
Because if he does, you know what I'm saying?
No, we are.
Because if he gets a sack, then that's what he's going to say. Oh, yeah, I heard his coach bumping his gums.
I heard what he said.
Whatever.
And Dak Prescott's going to be a better quarterback because of it.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper's going to get healthy.
Yeah.
Like, those are healing words right there for Doug Peterson.
It's such trash.
And, you know, it is what it is. I don't know.
Trash.
It's a Tuesday,
that's like,
man.
That's like
it's Wednesday now. No, it was Tuesday when he said
it's like the chip on my shoulder. Okay. I mean, okay, chip.
What kind of chip is it? potato?
I don't know, bro.
Corn chip?
Yeah. I was big drip. The league done messed up. Drafted me in the sixth round. Well, you play like you.
Hey, the Rams traded Marcus Peters to make space for Jalen Ramsey.
Crazy.
Remember they did it first and everyone was like, weird. Are they giving up?
Yeah.
No, they're making room
Marcus
for
Peters,
Jalen
man,
Ramsey.
He's on his third team. He's still on a rookie deal. Which is crazy.
Yeah, Marcus Peters is he's an interesting character.
He is.
Proud Husky, though, even though they kicked him off the team his final season there. That's you're not supposed to throw weights at trainers. They frown upon that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the college football corner. There's a lot of teams that have been in the situation that Georgia finds themselves in right now, like have to win the rest of your games. And a lot of teams have done it. Can Georgia be one of those teams? We'll get into that coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams in studio with a working microphone and everything. But as we always do at 11:20, the College Football Corner, a bunch of stuff going on. Interesting article written in the AJC today or yesterday about this Georgia team, where they sit right now given the loss to South Carolina and how similar their situation is to places that other teams have found themselves in the past. Other Georgia teams in the past, the 2012 Georgia team, the 2007 Georgia team, the 2002 Georgia team, that all had kind of bad in-season losses and then turned around to have really good seasons. The other comparison that was made in the article was to that Tim Tebow Florida team that had that bad loss to Ole Miss, and then Tim Tebow gives his famous speech and all that, and they go on to win. Which of those teams do you think Georgia is actually similar to?
None of them.
Okay.
The thing with it is I knew that, you know, when they did lose it, this was going to be compared. I remember when Clemson lost to Pitt,
yeah,
and all that. And it's, I mean, it's everything's a different way. You don't know if it's going to pan out the same way you want it. Georgia could lose another game. They could. If they don't tighten up what's going on over there, they don't loosen up some of the things that they need to do. But, I mean, I know that there's some dog fans out there that think the world's coming to an end right now. They want everybody damn fired. They want to throw out the stat between Mark Richt and Coach and Kirby Smart. Mark was really good in his first 5 years.
He was.
We were good at Georgia. Yeah, good player. So we won things. We won SEC championships. Do we get to a national championship? Well, in the 5 years at Kirby's, we've been to a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, and should have been to another one, but his coaching and all that, whatever. But if it happens, it happens. I think that we can run the table. I think we can beat everybody that's on the schedule right now. Of course, it didn't look good losing to South Carolina, but, hey, that's over and done with. You got to move on from that. If you're still worried about the South Carolina loss, then you're going to struggle with Kentucky.
Of course.
And I think this is the one thing I know about Kirby. What he's great at is getting his team to turn the page to the new opponent. So.
Right, and I'm sure that he has. Like, I'm not concerned about the guys in there thinking about South Carolina to the extent that, like, oh, no, we lost to South Carolina, now we're not good anymore.
Right.
I don't think that happens for people. Now, it's happened for fans, but
of
that's
course.
Fine. Fans can think whatever they want. It doesn't make a difference what we think in our minds and the way that they play out there on Saturdays. What I think it can do, and, look, you can tell me if this is true or not, I feel like if you're a really good team like Georgia is – and you have at times not played up to your potential this season, especially in that last game that we just saw, like there's no more leeway for that. Like one loss in college football right now means that you're on the bubble. You don't lose two games and go to the college football playoff. Georgia was probably the closest team that we've ever seen to it last year with two losses.
Right.
And, I mean, that's as close as you can get. And still it was not done. So you know that if you lose another game that you're on the outside looking in. Can that be a benefit? Like, can you use that as a benefit? And, like, if there was ever times when you're overlooking stuff, if there's games where you go into it, because you're better than Kentucky.
Yeah.
You should be able to beat Kentucky. You were better than South Carolina, too.
Mm-hmm.
But is that something that can in some way galvanize a team or inspire in a different way?
We'll see.
No, can it?
Oh, yeah, it can. Yeah, it can. But, I mean, again, we'll see. We'll see how it looks this weekend. And if it's not as clean and, you know, people will keep talking and everything, I just want to see a clean game. I want to see them play better. I want to see them do some different things. You can't change. It's hard to change a whole philosophy in 1 week. But here's the thing. You got to find a way to get through this one because you get a bye. And then you can work on some things, get some guys healthy before you got to go to Jacksonville and play the Gators. But right now, the whole purpose and the whole premise of this week is to go out there and show people that you can adjust and be better. Because that was just a stinker that we had last mm-hmm. week. Now, if they come out in the first quarter and you're watching the game and they still look sluggish and, you know, and they're not adjusting to what Kentucky's doing or Kentucky's being able to make plays, because Kentucky stinks offensively. All right, they got. I mean, Stoops is going to run a nice scheme as far as defense. He just don't have the horses like he used to have. If you can't get after this team, and then look at the first quarter, it's going to be everybody's going to start going to hear the boo words. You're going to be, you know, everybody, what's wrong with Georgia?
Right.
If we win by 14 points, everybody's going to have a problem with it.
Yes, I understand. Yes, absolutely. But that's the pressure you put on yourself. Yeah. Like that's what happens when you're really good and you're ranked number 3 when the season starts. And you have wins early in the season, and you're in that national championship conversation. We talked about this last week, about whether or not it's concerning that Georgia was continuing to get off to slow starts.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit concerning that Georgia was getting off to slow starts. Now, it's fine. You kind of gloss over it if you go on to beat Tennessee by 30 points. But when you get off to a slow start and then you remain slow the entire game against South Carolina, and then you have to have a 96-yard drive in the final 5 minutes of the game to even send it to overtime, then maybe those slow starts are emblematic of something else. Like maybe it's more than just overlooking teams. Maybe it's more than just slow starts. Maybe, and I don't think this is true about Georgia, but it's possible. Maybe they're not as good as we thought they were.
That's not true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we thought the Falcons were really good.
That is true.
And they're 1-5 now, and Dan Quinn's probably going to get fired.
Yeah.
Like,
Georgia's 5-1, though.
I agree. Right. And I think Georgia's really, really good. I'm with you. Like, I don't think that is true about Georgia, but they got to show us that now.
Oh, I agree. You know me, man.
I mean, you don't just get to be good because you think you're good.
Because you think you're good, and because everybody wants to always holler about some 5-star and all
right.
that.
Just it doesn't matter.
It don't matter right now because you just got beat by a team that doesn't have any. You know what I'm saying? And you got dominated in a place where we were supposed to dominate at, in the trenches. And so hopefully, you know, this gets corrected. I think it will. And you just keep on, you just move on from there and just get on about your business because it ain't going to get no easier. I'll tell you that. It ain't going to get no easier. If you thought that South Carolina defensive line got after you, wait till you go down to Jacksonville.
Yeah, Florida.
You wait till you go down to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? They got some dudes. You know, they got Sunday guys. And you know, South Carolina, they got some players over there, but they ain't got them dudes down at Auburn. They ain't got them dudes in Florida. I mean, it's a big difference.
Kirby Smart talked earlier in the week about how they're going to try to improve some of what they need to improve.
We got to find some guys that can get open, that can win one-on-one, that can create separation and do a good job. And then Jake ultimately has got to be the guy that controls it, whether he throws it away, eats it, and runs with it, which he did the other day, and makes good decisions with the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, find guys in space. Use the athletes that you have. And again, you said it just earlier, and I agree. You're not going to redefine your system in a week. And
no.
You shouldn't. Like, that would be a panic move.
Yes.
If you decide, oh, now we're going to do this. We're going to throw the ball 50 times a game every game, and we're going to do all this different stuff that we haven't done before. No. Kirby Smart has a belief in what he wants the offense to be.
Right.
You lose one game, you don't scrap that whole thing. Now, I'm fine with, at some point in some offseason, looking at evolving what you want to do offensively.
Correct.
In fact, I think Georgia probably should.
Right.
But not now. Like, right now, you stick to what you do,
yep.
And you try to run the football down people's throats.
Yeah. But and this is another thing that I don't want to say worries me about Saturday, but it's kind of in the back of my mind. Don't go out there and try to show people that, oh, look, we could do it.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Don't be like, watch this. You know, don't do that. You know, still play.
Do what?
Like, okay, we got to huck it all over the yard.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Don't do that, all right, because that's not what you do. Now, do you have players that you can add some of that element to your game plan? Yeah, but don't come out here thinking that we're just going to be a spread offense and four wide receivers.
Here's a quote from Kirby that kind of makes it sound like if that's something that you're worried about, you shouldn't be.
Right now, offensively, we've got an identity that we've got to create more explosive plays. We cannot turn the ball over. And if you don't turn the ball over, you're really not talking about a lot of things, because when you go back and watch the tape, there was a lot of successful runs in there, as many as there were that weren't. And like I said, we've never lost a game that we were efficient in the run game. It's hard to make our efficiency chart, and we made it.
Yeah, he's still talking about the run.
Yeah.
Now, explosive plays, yes, of course. And he said it a couple weeks ago, they want to have one explosive play for every 8 that they run. That's
right.
Sort of the ratio that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That's created by dominating in the run game.
Right.
If you make them fear what you can do in the run game, which Georgia should be able to do, given the offensive line that they have and the talented running backs that they have, then you open up the back end, and then you can find guys in space. Then you can hit those deep balls. That's something that – and I think this is something that you've mentioned and we've hit on a little bit. They tried against South Carolina. They took some shots.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they weren't great timed shots, but they took some shots. Jake just has to make the throws.
Yeah, make throws.
Like, Jake Fromm has to make better throws mm-hmm. when they actually try to throw the ball downfield. And, again, that's the worst game that he's played. You have to assume that he's not going to do that again.
I assume. I don't think that Jake will ever play that bad again. I don't. He was god-awful. Four, he created four turnovers. I mean, he gave away the ball four times. And if you look at it, did they give up an offensive touchdown? Yeah, one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that was a nice throw.
That was a great throw.
Helinski made a nice throw, and that was the way that they scored their one touchdown. But no, the defense actually played really well, which is interesting because, you know, because of the way the offense went against South Carolina, we've not talked about the defense really at all this week. We've talked about the run game, talked about Jake needed to be better. I'll be interested to see what that defense looks like when you get into games, and hopefully you get into a game against one of the best two teams in the SEC right now, which is Alabama and LSU, because those two offenses are ridiculous. Their defenses aren't great, though, which is interesting, and we hit on it yesterday briefly. Is it strange to you as a lifelong Georgia fan and a watcher of the SEC that the two best teams in the SEC right now have defenses like Alabama and LSU have?
No.
Like, they're giving up 25 points
but
a game.
It doesn't surprise me because of what I know of why they are, especially Alabama, because they're young. They got a lot of young players. LSU, I don't get it. I don't, but it could go now because you have this ratio where it seems like your offense is scoring a lot faster. You're not as rested as you used to be because it was a ground and pound type team. That could be it, but yeah, it's crazy. LSU gave up defense for offense.
But it's okay if you're giving up 24 points a game when you're scoring 54 points a game, which LSU is.
Sometimes we forget that part.
Yeah, you're still winning by four touchdowns, but it's weird to see LSU with the numbers that they have right now, offensively and defensively. It's flipped.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's almost that time. Hey, Hawks fans, opening night presented by State Farm is on Saturday, October 26th at 7:30 when the Hawks take on the Orlando Magic. Limited seats remain. Please go to hawks.com/tickets to secure your seats today.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy has a college football story as well, kind of.
Huh?
Something that someone did that was very, very dumb.
Huh?
Related to college football.
Oh, okay.
Well, you just have to hang out and wait for the Wendy Zone, which is coming up next, all right? Okay, well, are you going to stick around for it?
I'm on the clock to two.
We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
Everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on a Wednesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, the most important audio in the entire world. We'll let you hear again some of what Dan Quinn had to say this morning. Go around the rest of the NFL as well. Coming up top of the noon hour. And at 12:20 in our lunchtime Falcons report, Dave Archer going to join us as he always does on Wednesday. So looking forward to that conversation as well. But before we do anything else, it's 11:40. Wendy Adams is in studio. Her microphone is working, and it's the Wendy Zone.
It is working. This one works in here.
Hi, Wendy.
The one over on the other side of the glass still doesn't work. So
it works.
We're working on it.
It's
works.
Been disabled. Are we still working on that, Randy?
Yeah, man. Yeah. We got a memo in there. We got a memo.
You sent a memo?
Sent a memo.
Oh.
Yeah, sent a memo.
Could you use Notepad or Word Doc?
I don't know how to use Word Doc too well, so I just put it on a post on the post-it sticker.
You wrote it on a post-it sticker.
Yeah.
Who'd you
give it to?
Put it on the door.
Oh.
Huh.
I did order us a dry erase board. I ordered us a dry erase board. It should be in any time.
Oh, so good. To write my Twitter handle up on every time I beat Randy in sports.
Well, you've only done that twice.
I beat him three times in a row.
All right. Let me know how good of a friend you're going to be because this guy, I think, went above and beyond to be or try to be a good friend anyways, but it was just dumb. So University of Alabama, a freshman, is accused of calling in a bomb threat at LSU's Tiger Stadium during the LSU-Florida game on Saturday night. So his name is Connor Bruce. He's 19. He was arrested and jailed on Sunday as a, quote, fugitive from justice. He faces unspecified charges in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. According to a police affidavit, Kroll told police that he called in a bomb threat during the Tigers' 42-28 win because a friend was on the verge of losing a large bet.
Send him to Angola, man.
Right, something.
Send him over there to one of them work farm camps or whatever they have down there in Louisiana.
Come on. Because your friend is about to lose a bet. This is a very serious.
Go on. No.
Wait, well, don't curse. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get out of trouble. I'm trying to get out of Randy's way.
No, man, throw him in jail.
Where do you want him to go?
Like, over there to Angola.
Okay.
Yeah. Put him over there.
Put him in a work camp?
Yeah, put him in a work camp, man.
For how long? Forever?
No,
you want him to be an indentured servant forever now?
No, but just, I mean.
Well, he's being held without bond right now, so he can't get out of jail right now.
How old is he, 19?
He's 19 years old.
Put him in there for 19 more years.
Put him in there with somebody with a bald head and a tattoo on the back of it.
But.
And just, you know.
But your friend calls you saying, hey, I'm about to lose a bet, and your first idea is to say, hey, you know what would be a great idea? Let me just call in a bomb threat to a stadium during a football
game.
That's
just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's the behavior of a drunk 19-year-old entitled college kid is what it is. It's very
unbelievable. I bet he got that Alabama comb over.
Oh, yeah, his hair
does. Hold on, I can pull up his picture.
His hair definitely does the swoop.
Yeah.
Without question. And he had his Alabama polo shirt with just a little elephant on it.
Can you see it?
Look at him. Look at
him. Yeah, can you see him? Can you see him right there?
Yeah, of course he has that.
Look at him. Of course he has that. Put him in Angola.
What was it, 2 days? He's got the 2 days haircut.
Yeah, put him in Angola with Robert and him.
The hair kind of goes swoosh to the left.
I guarantee you all of his khaki shorts are 4 inches too small.
Yeah, on the bottom bunk.
What is with that these days?
I don't understand the khaki short phenomenon.
Why are the frat boys showing off all their thighs?
But it's been going on for decades.
Oh, it has?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for decades? Oh, I didn't know that.
You've been out in Buckhead before.
Oh, I thought it was a new thing.
No, the khakis have been strong for
a while. But like the real high ones, though?
Yes.
Like up there?
Yeah, with the duck shoes or the sunglasses holder.
Yeah, it's such a bad look.
it's a vibe.
And it's weird because it's like so many of them. It's like a uniform that they all wear.
Yeah.
And they just all...
With the polo shirt.
They flock around.
The duck.
Right. They get hammered on Keystone Light, which I don't have a problem with. There's nothing wrong with that. But just that look, I don't get.
I say thing, man.
It's a bad look.
I say thing, man. Hey, the ladies like it.
Obviously. Do they?
Obviously. Yeah, well,
Wendy's a lady.
No.
Remember?
No,
did you listen to the beginning of the
show? Every time I see that dude with that look that y'all talking about, he got him a lady with him. The ladies like it. They like thigh. They like thigh meat showing.
Thigh meat.
I did not know that's where we were going. but that's fine.
I'm just not going to show any thigh meat. I got too many things working against me when it comes to the thigh meat.
I think you have a Halloween costume now.
I didn't get into showing the thigh meat, dog. In my swim trunks, I didn't got the shorter swim trunks.
Yeah, but...
Dude, that side crease be showing there?
I think you can get away with it.
Oh, yeah, because you've been working out. Yeah. Eating well.
I'm pale.
Yeah.
I'm hairy. And I'll reveal this to you. You guys don't know this. No one out there does either. For whatever reason, I don't know why, I get like mild acne on my thighs. Not anywhere else on my body, not my face.
I'm going to vomit.
Nowhere else, just the fronts of my thighs. I don't know what it is. You think it's a reaction to my cell phone? Because I wear my cell phone in my front pocket? Why do I have thigh acne? I'm glad we're talking about this.
I'm so disgusted.
I don't know what to say right now.
I've been wanting help
for a
while.
Can we just transition, Brian? Can we come? You're a very interesting human being, Andy.
That's okay.
You're, I don't.
Do not show me.
All right.
Do not show me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Put that pants leg.
Do you
down.
Want to show the camera so people can see at 929 the game? Yeah. Can they zoom in on Andy's?
No. Thigh? My shorts go up that high.
What else? You
okay.
Got,
yeah. We're gonna move on. Yes. Do you guys watch Wheel of Fortune at all, or have you seen Wheel of Fortune growing up or whatever?
Of course.
Yeah.
So you know when Pat Sajak, the host of Wheel of Fortune, he will go around to each of the contestants and sort of ask them about their life and tell us a little bit about your family, just to get an introduction so we know who people are. Well, a contestant, Blair Davis, pretty much stunned at Pat Sajak with his answer yesterday. So as Pat Sajak was doing the introductions, this Blair Davis guy talked about a small trucking business that he has in San Diego, and then was asked about his family, and this was Blair Davis's response.
Hello, Blair.
Hello.
Blair Davis, Cardiff, California. Owned the trucking business, it says here.
Small trucking business in San Diego. Yeah.
Good for you. And talk about your family.
I've been trapped in a loveless marriage for the last 12 years to an old battle axe named Kim. She cursed my life with three stepchildren named Star, RJ, and Ryan. And I have one rotten grandson.
Yay!
That's awesome.
No wonder you came here. You just wanted to get away from everybody. I know you're being facetious.
Absolutely. I love him like nobody's business.
So he said he talked to his family before, but I just thought it was brilliant.
He threw
him off so badly because normally you expect a response to be like, I have this wonderful family. Here's my children's names. They're very great. They're accomplished.
You might have met by the stepchildren.
He might have.
He might have, but I knew.
Stepdaughter named Star?
I would have got punched in the stomach.
If you said that about your family?
Oh, yeah. Straight stoned.
Well, he told his wife before
But the thing about it is, what if I didn't tell, you know what I'm saying? Because there's other people that are watching. And when I might have told her, but I ain't tell everybody else. So the first thing her phone will be blowing up.
I just
did
wish,
you hear what he's, you know.
I wish he wouldn't have admitted it at the end. Like, oh yeah, I love him. Like nobody's business.
No, I can't stand her.
Stick with it.
No, I can't stand her.
Stick with the joke. You don't have to tell people about that at the end. What we need is the McMichael family on Family Feud.
Dude, we're trying.
Oh, that would be great.
We are trying.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah.
Didn't they film that here?
They do.
Does Steve Harvey still host it?
We're trying because it's going to be me. It's going to be Aunt Pam, Mama, Donna, and Kendra, my sister.
Okay. Oh,
so, yeah, we're trying.
That'd be so great.
Dude, how great would that be?
Does anybody know anybody at Family Feud?
Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave.
We got to get Unc in there.
Damn. Sometimes they allow a sixth person. It just depends on.
Dynamite can't come.
Wow.
Nah, I ain't going to say that.
Yeah, don't say that.
Don't say that.
And you just got punched in the stomach.
Yep, because it was her idea. They were
and plotting. Your phone is going to ring.
They were plotting it. But I'm just saying, dude. Like,
but really, though, they film it in Atlanta. Somebody out there right now.
You have to audition for it.
Can you see Uncle Dave and Steve Harvey?
It would be
the greatest thing ever.
It would be so viral so fast. It would be the greatest video of all time. Uncle Dave's the funniest person in the world. And Steve Harvey's very funny when
he's
hosts that show.
Yes.
Uncle Dave's funnier than Steve Harvey.
But then you know how loud Mama and Pam going to be.
Somebody out there right now listening has some connection to Family Feud.
Yeah.
Get in touch with Randy McMichael on Twitter at RandyMac81. Hit him up.
Or our text line.
Text the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Send him a post-it note. That's how
a memo.
Likes, that's how he likes to
a
get
word
his
doc.
Messages
that's
across.
How, that's how I don't do the word doc.
An email.
I'm going to send the wrong thing to the wrong person. But appreciate it, Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy.
Hey, join 99 The Game at Taste of Atlanta. The award-winning three-day food, beer, and wine, and cocktail, and all experience is on October 18th through the 20th at historic Fourth Ward Park. Come taste Atlanta's best bites from more than 100 restaurants. Get tickets at tasteofatlanta.com.
You can get some city barbecue.
Yeah, at the Taste that we had yesterday, which was amazing.
Coming up next, we'll get to the most important audio in the entire world right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And you can listen to it in any number of ways on the radio station here at 92.9 The Game, on radio.com. Get the radio.com app. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.